Good evening. The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. Duskowitz?
7:42.
Thank you, sir. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through an annual public notice on January 7, 2016. Faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Huntington Democrat, Huntington Review, and Express Times. Also posting on the district website, main bulletin board, and the administrative offices, and in each Clinton Township school, and finally faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Duskowitz, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mrs. Hand? Mrs. McHugh?
Here.
Mrs. Olowski? Mr. Petuto?
Here.
Mrs. Rudelgota? Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Here.
Thank you very much. Mr. Sturgis, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Vanderhoff, would you serve as process guardian for tonight's meeting?
Sure.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our monthly meeting. Today is Monday, August 22nd, 2016. I certainly hope everyone has enjoyed their summer months because I'm afraid to say they're just about all gone. And before we know it, the hallways will be buzzing with the feet and voices of our students and of our staff members. I think my children have a countdown, and not a pleasant one in their minds, of 10 days before school starts. It used to be one like Christmas, you know, 10 days to Christmas, 9. This is 10 till school, and it's not as happy as the Christmas ones, I have to say. But before we begin this evening's meeting, I would just like to take a moment, recognize the staff for all their hard work this summer in preparation for the 2016-17 school year. There are a lot of people to recognize tonight for their hard work over the summer. All of our administrators who work so hard to prepare for the first day of school. I'd also like to thank our teachers and building staff members for their preparation so that on the first day of school things operate in a very effective and smooth manner. We also have a board office staff that's been working very hard to prepare buses and make sure that all of that goes very well. I'd like to give special thanks to Mr. Duskowitz and his staff of maintenance and custodial workers for working so diligently over the summer to make sure that all the necessary building maintenance occurs so that the buildings are prepared for when our students arrive. So it certainly is not an easy thing to do to open up a school year, and our staff has been hard at work all summer to make sure that it occurs in a very seamless way. So I just want to thank everyone this evening. I'd also like to take a moment. There's been a lot of discussion throughout the state about a bill that was put on the governor's desk where you could put a moratorium on moving school budget votes and school candidate votes back to April. And there's been some developments within the last few days on that. And I'd like to ask Mr. Vito Gagliardi to review that with everyone.
Okay, so in addition to warning people that summer's about to come to an end, you're gonna subject them to a legal update at the beginning of the meeting? That's tough duty. My mom was a fifth grade teacher. At this time of the year, started to think about putting her bulletin boards together. She used to really fret about that. That was a big subject of family discussion, so I'm familiar with the rhythm of this time of year. Yes, okay. So as far as this bill is concerned, so about 5 years ago, the governor advocated for and the legislature passed, the governor signed the bill that allowed municipal governments or school boards to move the school elections from April to November. The trade-off was that as long as you kept your budget within a 2% cap, you can move it, the budgets could go out for a vote, and the elections could be held when public participation will be maximized in November, saving the taxpayers approximately $30,000 or $35,000, the cost of running an April election, larger cost, obviously, in larger communities. Once moved, the elections had to stay in November for a minimum of 4 years, according to this law. And so the question is, what would happen if these elections are moved? Within the first 3 years, all but I believe about 16 school elections were moved from April to November. Once the four-year period expired, only two, I think Asbury Park and Plainfield, moved their elections from November back to April. But with some uncertainty about what would happen if municipal governments and school boards differed about whether the election should be moved, Trenton took notice, and the legislature passed a bill that would create a moratorium for a minimum of 2 years on any efforts in any other municipalities to move the school elections from November back to April, and to have a study commission look at how moving it would or would not be possible, and maybe evaluating a little further the benefits of keeping the school election in November. So the law that was put on Governor Christie's desk would do two things: create a minimum 2 year moratorium on any further efforts by municipalities or school boards to move school elections from November back to April, and create a study commission to look at the law and the effects, good and bad, of what's gone on for the past few years. The governor signed that into law, I believe, on Thursday. So I know, as the president mentioned, there has been some discussion at the municipal level about trying to move the school election, despite the obvious trend throughout the state to leave elections in November. Now it's state law, the election will remain in November for a minimum of 2 years. We'll see what the study commission does, and we'll see what, if anything, is going to be done to the law. But at least for now, you know, the school elections will remain in November for a minimum of 2 years.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President.
Just one note of business from my perspective for the members of the board. Every month now for several years, we have a task list that gets updated with required tasks that the administration, as well as members of the board or committees, do and are required to do on a monthly basis. We update that, and every month you get a copy of that. Dr. Villani and I will work through over the next couple of weeks this list to make sure that it meets the needs of her and her staff, and it meets the needs of the board for the upcoming year. So I do not have one for you at your specific seats, but it has been updated. If you'd like a copy of it, I can give it to you. But we're going to revamp this to make sure it meets the needs of both Dr. Villani and the board. I just like to bring that to everyone's attention. I'd like to move on to the report of the Superintendent of Schools. Dr. Villani, can we have your report, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good evening. Just an enrollment update. As of August 15th, our enrollment in district is 1,328 students. We continue to get new students enrolling every day. The Hunterdon County EdTech Fest took place last Wednesday, August 17th. It was a full-day event of presentations for educators related to technology instruction. It was mostly attended by districts within the county, but there were people outside of Hunterdon County who attended as well. Mrs. Hinkle and Mr. Jaw were instrumental in helping to prepare for the day. Ms. Vilas presented a session on using technology in the primary classroom, and there were a number of district staff members in attendance at the day. It really was an exciting, worthwhile day. Those who were in attendance really left with invigoration for going back into their classrooms in September and really working with students with different technology initiatives. So hopefully it will be presented again next year, and I would encourage anyone who can to go to that. Our new teacher program took place last week as well, August 16th, 17th, and 18th. As part of that event, new teachers participated in meaningful and interactive workshops, both within the district, and they also did attend the EdTech Fest. As part of their district work, we talked about curriculum and instruction, evaluation, use of the framework, technology, differentiation, and different supports within the district. So thank you to our entire administrative team who helped put those 3 days together. School opening. We are in the midst of planning for school opening for students and for staff. We're excited to welcome staff back on Monday, August 29th. I'm looking forward personally to getting to put all the names with the faces. Hopefully we'll get that soon. Over the first 3 days, the staff members will participate in a number of different learning opportunities and activities. And then on Thursday, September 1st, we're also excited to welcome back our students. And as Mrs. Grant said, I'm looking forward as well to the different noise level that we'll be hearing in all of the buildings. School visitations will take place on Wednesday, August 31st, and you can check the website for specific times for your buildings. Last week, transportation letters were sent out to families. Following that, this week, tomorrow, sometime, most likely tomorrow, letters will go home to parents and guardians related to class assignments.
That will be via email?
That will be.
Via email?
Via email, yes. And we have one presentation tonight. Mrs. Melissa Goad is here to present our update on HIV.
As Mrs. Goad is preparing to give us her presentation, I will share with everyone that all the children in the community are glued to their phones waiting for their class assignments to come out. And Facebook and Instagram and you name it. Did you get yours yet? Did you get yours yet? Did you get yours yet? So they'll be excited once those hit the street. Not to put any pressure on you, Mr. Jones.
Not at all. No pressure.
I know how exciting that time is. My family just went through that last week. Ours came out on Friday. So. Well, good evening, members of the Board of Education and our audience. Thank you, Dr. Villani, for the opportunity tonight to just share briefly with you some of our successes this school year, actually the past school year, and then some ways that we're going to continue to move forward as well. Tonight I'll be talking to you about the self-assessment report that we do in each school to determine our grades under the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights. And I'll just give you a little bit of information about what the assessment entails. This assessment is actually required by the Commissioner of Education by each public school, and we grade our district's efforts to implement the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act. So what we do when we receive the memo from the state, it was in May this year, we, along with our school safety climate team, take a very close look at the assessment and the criteria that are set forth in the assessment, and we give ourselves ratings per the criteria that are described by the state. We're rating ourselves from the period of July 1st, 2015 through June 30th, 2016. This year, the self-assessment tool did not change from past years, which was also very exciting as we were going through the paperwork. It's a very time-intensive process, takes a lot of just collection of information and data, and it's a really nice opportunity to review what we do in our schools and in our district. From that, we then assign a rating for each indicator based on the criteria, and we are required to maintain documentation for that as well. So just another quick overview of what we do to fulfill the requirements set forth under the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights. So we completed the self-assessment with school safety teams in June, assigning a rating and an indicator based upon the criteria. We are required to submit it to the Department of Education by September 30th, and also required as a presentation to the board prior to that. So that's what I'm doing for you this evening. The Department of Ed will then review our data. They will create and issue school and district grade reports for us, and that will come out during the 16-17 school year. After we receive those official reports from the Department of Education, we will then present again our final scores at a board meeting. And we are also required within 10 days of receiving that information from the Department of Ed to post it on our website. So that will happen once we get that information back. So what is on the self-assessment? There are 8 areas that we need to score. We look at HIV programs, approaches, and other initiatives. We look at training on board-approved HIV policy. Number 3 is other staff instruction and training programs. 4 is curriculum and instruction on HIV and related information and skills. 5 is HIV personnel. 6 is our school-level HIV incident reporting procedure. 7 is our HIV investigation procedure. And 8 is our HIV reporting. So I'd like to very briefly go over the scores that were assigned to each school. We continue to do very well, and I think that as time goes on, we're learning more and more about the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights and how to really effectively implement it with our students. So in element one, which was the HIB programs, approaches, and other initiatives, we scored at each of the schools out of a total of 15, a 14 or a 15 in each school. So Spruce Run had a 14, PMG had a 14, Round Valley had a 15, and CTMS had a 14. Element two, let me open this page so I don't go back and forth. Training on board approved HIV policy, out of a total of 9 possible points, Spruce Run had an 8, PMG had a 9, Round Valley had an 8, and CTMS had a 9. Element three was staff instruction and other programs. Again, a total of 15 possible points. At Spruce Run, 10, PMG, 15, Round Valley, 14, and CTMS, 14. Element four was curriculum and instruction on HIV and related information and skills. All four schools scored the highest amount of points, 6 total. Element five was HIV personnel. This is just making sure that we ensure that we have school safety team established, that we have an anti-bullying specialist and anti-bullying coordinator per the legislation. We, out of a total of 9, Spruce Run had 8, PMG had 8, Round Valley had 9, and CTMS had 9. Element six is school level HIV incident reporting and procedure. Spruce Run, out of a total of 6, had a 5, PMG had 5, Round Valley had 6, and CTMS had 6. Element 7 is the HIV investigation procedure. Out of a total of 12, all four schools did score 12. And then element 8 is HIV reporting. Out of a total of 6, all four schools scored a total of 6. So when we're scoring ourselves, we can have from a 0 to a 3 for each element or each category within the elements. And 2 is always meeting expectations, and 3 is exceeding expectations. So in every area, we met expectations or we exceeded expectations. So there was nothing there that something wasn't met. For our district, we had an average of 74 out of 78. Last year, I believe we had a 75 out of 78. So it's very similar, and we continue to do very well and very proud of the programs that we have in place for our students. In reflecting upon this information with our schools and our safety teams and the other principals, again, all of our schools met or exceeded the requirements in all 8 areas of reporting. We also can see that we have effective investigation and reporting procedures. We have effective programs for students, again, exceeding the requirements. We've also had an opportunity this past year to reflect and enhance programs, including exploration and review of activities for students. Most notably and more specifically, both CTMS and Round Valley will be implementing some new programs this year. And at Spruce Run and PMG, we continue to look at the programs that we're currently utilizing and continue to refine them as well for our younger students. We also, this year, for the first time, used HIBSTER for streamlining our processes, and that was very helpful as well. We'll continue to effectively implement HIBSTER. So even though we scored very well, there continue to be areas that we'd like to improve upon. Something that we've noted in reviewing the scores, we would like to continue to seek additional training opportunities for all stakeholders. We'll be starting with the board training in September, hopefully opening that up to parents as well, and looking for other opportunities to make parents aware and help to understand the specifics of the legislation that we're required to adhere to. Something else we'd like to continue to enhance, while we did use HIBSTER very effectively this year, they've continued to add components and areas that may continue to support us, so we'd like to learn more about that and continue to implement HIBSTER. We will continue to review policy and consider changes based upon new guidance that will be coming from the Department of Ed. This year, they will be looking at making some recommendations and changes to the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights. We're expecting that sometime in the fall, so we will be reviewing that information and looking to see how we may make changes or incorporate other information into our policies in Clinton Township. An exciting change that we're expecting is an expansion of the role of the school safety team, and they're actually changing the name from just a school safety team to a school safety climate team to really encompass all that we do in the schools and not looking at simply keeping kids safe, which obviously is very important, but looking at the climate across the entire building and across the district and making sure that we're doing all we can to maintain a positive, supportive environment for our students in our schools. Are there any questions?
Can you just provide to the board members a few examples of some of the different programs that we have going on throughout the district?
Absolutely. At Spruce Run and at Patrick McGarren School, we currently utilize a program that's set forth from the New Jersey State Bar Foundation. It's called the Bully Busting Curriculum. That provides a series of lessons that actually are targeted. They have an elementary level, a middle level, and a high school level. And so what we do, we've actually use those programs and created our own lessons that are very appropriate for each grade level. So at Spruce Run, we have a set of preschool lessons, a set of kindergarten lessons, and a set of first grade lessons, and they do similar things at Patrick McGarren School. We actually initially did use the bully busting curriculum across all of our grade levels, and it was a good program, but as there's more information and other curricula that are available, the other schools have continued to do some research, and that's why we're implementing next year at Clinton Township Middle School. They're currently using Pillars of Character, and they'll be rolling out a new program that's called Stand Up, Say No to Bullying. And at Round Valley, they're currently using Words of Wisdom, but they've updated that as well, and they're continuing to enhance some of the climate expectations in the school. So it's a combination of some purchase programs and also some that we've created in our schools.
Can I ask a question? I'm just reviewing the numbers, and you said that we met expectations in all areas, but I noted in Element 3, Spruce Run was 66% compared to the other schools that were 90%.
Those aren't percentages, those are total numbers, total score out of, let me go back to that page.
So 78.
The total score is 78 points, so we had Spruce Run's total score was 69 out of 78.
Right, but I'm talking about that particular element. Element 3.
Right, yes. That's training, and that's one of the areas. So while we met all of them, we didn't exceed expectations, which is why that score is a little bit lower. So
I'm just curious, then, what do the other schools do to exceed it compared to...
It's really like which sessions did the anti-bullying specialists go out to? Did they go to an out-of-district workshop this year? So those are some things. I think it's a positive that we feel very comfortable with what we're doing, and maybe don't feel the need to go to every training that's out there. But we'll continue, especially with some of the new guidance being set by the Department of Ed. That's an area that we'll probably... You'll see more of this upcoming school year. Yes?
I'm sorry, you probably said this, so I'm going to apologize in advance. The particular numbers for each of the elements, what is the range of what the expectation should be, and then what is the range for what exceeds?
There's a lot of documentation that goes with this. For example, let's look at element 3. Which again, it'll take me a moment to turn to that page in here. I think they should number the pages of the documents. I will be doing that for next year. Okay. So core element 3. It is other staff instruction and training programs. So the scores are... 0 does not meet requirements, 1 is partially meets requirements, 2 is meets all requirements, and 3 is exceeds the requirements. So there are many different pieces through each one. Some have 2 indicators, some have 6 indicators. So for example, part C of this says the school anti-bullying specialist was given time during the usual school schedule to participate in in-service training and preparation to act as the anti-bullying specialist. So it shows you for 0, there's no evidence that the anti-bullying specialist was given time. Partially meets, as plans are underway to provide the anti-bullying specialist with training. There meets requirements, which is how we scored ourselves at Spruce Run. There's evidence that staff was permitted release time after being selected as the anti-bullying specialist to receive in-service training to prepare him or her, and exceeds is that there was release time and participation in training as a component of the anti-bullying specialist scope of responsibility. So we, and then it shows you what sample documentations do you have to have. The sample documentation for that one is professional development plans, documentation of completion, agendas, schedules, purchase orders, job descriptions. So this year at Spruce Run, the anti-bullying specialist, while he had released time to work with the other counselors and participate in some of the trainings that we did as a part of our district, he actually didn't go out to any additional workshops this year. So we scored it. We said we didn't exceed the expectations there, but we had the documentation that we met it. So it's very specific as you go through each of the different areas. And again, the score range is 0 through 3.
So anything above 3 is exceeds?
Three is exceeds. Yeah, well, not, that's the total score, but it's broken down individually.
So that 10 is a composite score. There's subsets.
So there's a total of 78 points. And each element has a different number of points. Element 1 is worth 15 points, so that's on the grades section. You can see how much each part was worth.
So on the scoring, 0, 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. 3 being exceeds.
Yes.
How does that correlate with the score of 15? Did we rate ourselves at 2?
Let me see. Let's look at element 3.
Kevin, I couldn't hear your question. Could you say that again?
I was asking, with the 0, 1, 2, 3, 3 being exceeds, how does that correlate with the eligible score 15? Like, how do you,
maybe
we scored
5, 10,
a 2.
15. Maybe it's 5, so 10, 15.
Element 3 has 5 sections to it. It's got A, B, C, D, E. Each is worth 3, a total of 3 points. You could earn a total of 3 points for exceeding expectations.
Okay, so that's just one section.
Correct.
5 sections. So they just met them.
So we did 2, 2,
yep.
2.
So
that's
if you
how
got
we
a
got
10,
the 6.
Then you met expectations.
If which one are you looking at?
10.
3. Element
so
3.
If you got a 10, you met expectations.
Right. Yes, we met expectations in all of them. There was, okay. We scored nothing below a 2 in any element or indicator.
Okay, so there's 5 elements, I guess.
It depends. It's there's the first one has 5, the second one has 3, okay. The third one has 5, the fourth one has 2.
All right, I got you.
It's not simple. That would be too easy.
I
like to keep us on our toes. But again, it's, you know, we're at a good point because we have great things that are happening in the district for our students. We can always continue to make enhancements, and that's where we're really fine-tuning at this point.
So. Any other questions from members of the board? From Mrs.
Just one more. Do you know if self-assessment is commonplace with other districts?
Everyone has to do the self-assessment. It's part of the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights. Yes.
All self-assessment.
Absolutely. Yep. And then it's reviewed. It is submitted to the Department of Ed, so it's not just we get to assign whatever grade we like. You know, we have to have all the documentation ready,
right.
And it does get reviewed. And that's when the score report is published at a later point in the year, it's because they've reviewed our scores that compare it to the ITP data that gets reported. Interventions, trainings, and programs. We report twice a year as well what trainings we've done from July to December, and then again from January to June. So they compare our scores on the self-assessment to what we've reported and verified that we're already doing as well. So it's not, we don't just get to assign ourselves.
Any other questions for Mrs. Goode?
All right, thank you.
No, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
I'm looking for a motion, please, for 17-SU-002, please.
Motion.
A second?
Second.
Any questions for Dr. Villani this evening?
Yep.
No, seeing none. Mr. Jeskowitz, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. Picciuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a very fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This too is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comments section. We'll gather all the questions asked at the podium and again answer them at the end of this section. To the extent any other action or research is warranted,
It will be addressed by the board president or the superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes. Would anyone like to address the board this evening? Seeing none, I'll close the floor then and open the floor for our public comment section, first recognition of the public. All the parameters that I just detailed for a public comment section on agenda items only apply to this section as well. If you'd like to address the board, please come to the podium, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. Seeing none, I'd like to then please move on to the report of the school business administrator and board secretary, Mr. Duskwitz. Mr. Duskwitz, can we have your report, please?
Date of the Board of Education's next regularly scheduled meeting is for Monday, September 26, 2016 at 7 p.m., during which time from 7 to 8, we'll be doing HIB training and start the meeting approximately about 8 p.m. And that will be here in the auditorium of the Clinton Township Middle School. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Jeskowitz. I'm looking for motion, please, for action item 17-BA-002 to action item 17-BA-005, please.
Action, so moved.
Rachel. Second, please. Second, Ms. Van Roth. Any questions for Mr. Jeskowitz this evening? Seeing none, maybe a roll call, please.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Yes.
Mrs. McGee.
Yes.
Mr. Pituto.
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis.
Yes.
Mrs. Grant.
Yes to all, but I have to abstain, please, on action item 17-BA-002. Executive session minutes, please.
So motion carries.
Thank you. We'll move on at this point in our meeting to reports of our individual committees. Our first committee report is our Facilities and Finance Committee, chaired by Mr. John Pituto. Mr. Pituto, may we have the report of your committee, please?
Certainly. We have 18 action items tonight, 17FF039 through 17FF056. Most of them are common action items, including the payment of bills for the period ending August 31st. We have some workshop approvals, grad course approvals, and some professional development workshop as well. We have some bid awards on action items FF54 for the repointing of brickwork at several of our schools. And 17FF055 is for the second phase, our wastewater treatment phase, wastewater treatment program phase at the, I believe that's at Patrick McGarren, if I'm not mistaken.
At both facilities.
At both facilities. So with that, I am putting forward a motion for the approval of action items 17FF039 through 17FF056.
Thank you. Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Mr. Pituto this evening?
I was messing with John as he was getting ready to give his report on 054.
So AJ, can we look at the details of 054, because
I figured it out. I was looking at the numbers and there was such a broad range, I thought they were all awards, but you're only awarding Spartan.
Correct.
So you got eight bids up to $1.1 million, you awarded the $267,000.
Correct.
What was Northeast Roof Maintenance thinking?
Even on the one last year that they did, they came in the highest, so they figured if they're the only bidder, well, they've just struck gold.
You just have to do one job a year.
Exactly. But it was funny that they came in and did our ladder work last year and they came in the lowest out of two other bidders.
Mm-hmm. They need to get a new estimator.
Any other questions for Mr. Pituto? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Pituto.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Yes.
Mrs. McGee.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis.
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant.
Yes to all, but I'm going to abstain on action item 17PN022, please. Oh, I'm going to jump ahead here. Yes to all. Sorry.
Motion carries.
Moving on to our third committee report, personnel negotiations. Vandroff is the chair of that committee.
Thank you. We have 10 items on the agenda tonight. Action item 17-PN-22 to action item 17-PN-31. And these are mostly run-of-the-mill as well, as we have with facilities and finance. There's one reinstatement. There is one appointment for a part-time secretary for the district. There's one change from full-time employee to part-time status. There are three extensions of leaves of absence for three separate individuals. There's also chaperones listed for the CTMS Ski Club for the year. And there's also approval of substitute custodians for the buildings. There's 12 job descriptions we're seeking approval for. And there's three position changes or transfers for the upcoming school year. I also want to note that we have one amendment on the agenda for 17-PN-24. We are amending the start date from September 1st, 2016 to August 29th, 2016. So with that, I'd like to request a motion to approve action item 17-PN-22 to 17-PN-31.
Thank you, Ms. Vandroff. Second, please.
Second.
Mr. Caputo. Any questions for Ms. Vandroff this evening?
Should 025 also then be amended to August 29th? No.
Okay.
Only one.
Okay. May we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Vandroff?
Yes.
Mr. Fattuto?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes, on all, but I'll abstain on action item 17-PN-22, please.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our final committee report of this evening, policy and curriculum. Ms. McLaughlin is the chair of that committee. Ms. McLaughlin, your report, please.
Thanks. We did not meet in person this month due to people's vacation schedules and challenging schedules, so we did an online meeting. We have district mentor plan tonight to move forward, a district professional development plan, second readings of the 5000 series, on student policies and regulations, as well as the 6000 series, which are instruction bylaws, policies, and regulations. So I'm going to move action item 17 PC 11 through action item 17 PC 14.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin? Not seeing none, may we have a roll call, Mr. Juskowitz?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Vandroff?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. Fattuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. The ad hoc committee on the feasibility of closing the school did not meet and has nothing to report this evening. I'd like to move on to a section of our meeting called Old Business. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask questions about old business of the board and school-related matters only. Any of the board members have old business? Mr. Sturgis?
I have one on that. The transportation agreement with ESC. Anthony, in the breakdown that you sent out on 8/15, you made the reference to the number of buses that they would commit to the district at 6.
Correct.
And then they sent the letter on 8/1. Which had a spreadsheet attached to it. And they have 6 on the spreadsheet. I don't know if that's theirs or ours.
No, after we had discussed during our board meeting, I know that you had heard that there was 8, but I guess out of the 8, there was 2 committed to another school district, and we would receive 6.
Well, I heard there was 8 here, but I knew we were trying to get them to commit the 8 to our district. I understand we're getting 6, but I just wanted to point out in their letter, it says 5.
There is a difference between their letter and the chart that you have attached that also came from them. Their chart included six.
So?
And I believe Mr. Jessica was followed up with the representative from there, and it's six that we're getting.
It's six? Okay.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So we rebutted their letter or redlined it, and it's now six because in writing they're at five.
Well, when I got that letter, that's when I called them up to confirm, because in the analysis they gave me had six.
Yeah.
So she confirmed that it would be six.
Okay, I would just do that in writing. I think it'll turn up to be five if we don't do it in writing.
Any other questions? Like to move on then to new business. Any new business members of the board like to bring up this evening? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to open the floor to our second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We'll follow the same outline as detailed in the first public comment section on agenda items only. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone. State your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 15 minutes. Anyone? Seeing none, Mr. Jeskowitz, can you please read our executive session statement, sir?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act NJSA 10:4-6 et cet requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12B sets forth nine types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12B to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion, or disciplining of any specific prospective public officer or employee or current public officer or employee employed or appointed by the public body, unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could be adversely affected request in writing that such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting, subject to the balancing the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights under South Jersey Publishing Company versus New Jersey Expressway Authority, 124 NJ 478, the employees and nature of the discussion described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality as personnel, and whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Administration Association, and whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer. The nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality as personnel, attorney-client privilege, and negotiations. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 90 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Jeskowitz. I'm looking for motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Motion.
Second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Now in executive session.